on this week's Nonsensible Podcast.
By the time we get citizenship, it's too late.
The one big thing was just like everyone was Korean. I was like, wow, everyone's Asian. This is weird.
Yeah.
Like that was the biggest thing for me.
Acting like I don't like the bars and clubs anymore. Yes, yeah. You do.
I was more of like, I was very a homebody type of person. So I was home a lot.
Yeah. An ambivert, as we like to call it.
This is Nonsensible.
Hey guys, welcome to Nonsensible with Dave,
Sam,
Saul from accounting,
Lex from 28 Lab,
and we.
And Thursdays are for the fellas.
Thursdays are for the boys.
Yeah,
we're back at you with a new guest,
Lex.
Lex.
Yeah, you can call me Alex, Lex, whatever's comfortable for you.
Lex, for all the listeners and viewers out there, please introduce yourself.
So hi guys, my name is Lex. I'm an artist who works with our team 28 Laboratory. And I just released a single a couple months back, so go check it out.
Sick. What's the name of the single?
The single is called Black.
Dope.
Yeah, it's a pretty dark thing, but it's got a whole story behind it, so it's cool.
Dope.
Right on.
Do you want to tell us a bit of the story? Why is it so dark? We had a brief chat before and you seem like one of the people that is farthest removed from darkness.
So I just had like a lot of, like in the past show with Michael, I actually had like a really tough past too, but then similar with him, like that kind of built me up to what I am now.
Yeah.
But I actually got out of the army end of 2019.
Oh.
Yeah. And
So you got out of the army. Not really. You get out of the army end of 2019 and you hit COVID.
Pretty much. So I got out then, but then a lot of people, most of my friends, they have a good time when they're in the army, or they seem to.
Yeah.
But then I don't know, maybe because I went at a late age that it wasn't that enjoyable. Mm-hmm. So like, but I had a lot of time to like self-reflect and think back and stuff. And then just, I went through a lot of like ups and downs, just like emotionally and mentally. And I just kind of wanted to like dump that into a song.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay, cool.
And then that's pretty much what that was. But that was kind of like, I have like, most of my songs aren't that dark, but I feel like that's one I had to get off my shoulder before I moved on.
Was that the like most amount of time that you spent alone?
While I was in the army?
Yeah.
No, I like to be alone often. Yeah. I'm like what do you call that when you're like an introvert and extrovert? Ambivert, yeah, I'm that. So sometimes
what is that?
Dude, there's a word for everything.
I don't know. It's like ambidextrous, but for personality.
What is it? Ambivert?
I found out not too long ago about that word.
So cringe.
You hate that?
I just hate how there's a word for everything now. It's like, I'm a ex-bicentral blah, 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 blah. That means I also enjoy golf, but at the same time, I hate life. But like,
I don't even know any of these words.
Shut up.
Yeah. But pretty much, like, I just like to be alone.
It wasn't against you, Diane. It was just
sometimes.
That there's a word for everything. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but
it's just so
But at
annoying.
The same time, I want to be with, like, there's times where I just want to hang out with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like that.
That's normal.
But then all of a sudden, like, they're like, oh, you're an ambivert. I'm like,
thank you,
what
Sam.
Is that? Like, oh, you like to be an introvert and extrovert. I'm like, so that makes me normal, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, exactly.
Like, yeah, so it's normal.
Yeah, exactly. But like, it's like, no, you're an ambivert. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm an ambivert.
I just do what the fuck I want to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sure.
Yeah.
Put me in a box and give me a title.
Exactly.
You know, each to their own, I think.
Can you guys stop that in 2021? Can we stop? Can you just stop?
It's not like the world's advancing, is it? It's like we keep giving
people
are different. Yeah.
More and more titles. It's like just let people be who they are and be themselves.
Everyone's
and
different. That's what it used to be. Like, oh, I'm different.
But
different became like like 20 different words.
Yeah, exactly.
This is my friend Dave. He's Dave. You know, work out, you know, let him tell you about himself instead of saying, I'm Dave and I'm ambidextrous and I'm also…
I'm a bilateral ex… rock. What the fuck that means?
So you've also… We had Michael in the other week and he was talking about growing up in Australia and going to the army.
Yeah, yeah.
You were born in the States or you grew up in the States similar to Michael?
So I was born in New York and then I moved to Jersey. And then I came into Korea back in early 2011, I want to say. Or maybe late 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was an American citizen… And I came to do music and I got scouted by a label. But Long story short.
Can you mention the label?
It was William Entertainment.
Uh-huh.
So they hit me up. When I was in America, I didn't know anything about K-pop. They just hit me up like, we got some kind of deal for you. I'm like, okay, cool. I came through. And then straight from the airport, I went. It was my first time in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I went straight to William Entertainment. Yeah. And then the boss sat me down. I had a meeting. I couldn't understand half the stuff he was talking about because my Korean was trash.
Wow.
Then. And he's like, all right, we're going to do an audition. I'm like, what are you talking about? What's happening?
And then he's like…
Yeah, and he's like, and they brought me into a basement. Yeah, pretty much. He brought me into a basement. There's a camera. I was like, all right, do what you got to do. I'm like, can you sing? I'm like, no. He's like, well, can you dance? I'm like, yeah, I can dance. So then he's like, all right, dance. I'm like, wait, what? And then I'm like, all right, turn on a song. And I just freestyled. And then he's like, can you rap? I'm like, yeah, I do music. And then I just rapped a verse, one of my verses. And he went back up and he's like, slid me like a contract. He's like, all right, I'm making a group called Infinite. And I want you to be a part of it. Now I was just like confused. I'm like, all right, I just landed here like 2 hours ago. And like now you want me to sign the contract. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what you're even talking about.
And this is 10 years ago before there were like hundreds of rappers on Instagram. Like, don't sign the first deal.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit's a runaround.
Yeah. What did they tell you before you got in the plane then?
There wasn't much.
Damn.
They just come through. I'm like, okay, that was pretty much it. But I just wanted to come to Korea. That's kind of like excuse to come here.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
You
walk in and you're like, 안녕히 가세요.
Yeah, pretty much. My Korean was so broken. Yeah, I'd be like, bye. And then
just walk in, it's like, bye, y'all.
But I was kind of scared out because it was so sus.
Yeah.
So like…
What'd you do?
So he went to the bathroom. I was like, oh, I think about it. And he went to the bathroom and I kind of dipped. I just like left.
Whoa, cool.
I was like, all right, I'm out. I'm leaving. And so I just walked out the building and I went back to my mom's place.
You just had a bad feeling about him?
Just the whole thing. It was just like, it was all sudden. Like I just landed in Korea. Like I'm in this like new country. I don't know anything about this place. And this guy sits me down. He wants to sign you a 7-year contract.
7 years?
Yeah, for like a K-pop group. I don't even know.
You must have killed that dance.
I don't know, man.
What was it?
I just freestyled.
Seven years is kind of like back then was a standard deal for a new group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.
Infinite, though, didn't they have quite a successful…
Yeah, they did. Actually, I met a couple of them. They're like… And then we talked and like, oh yeah, I remember you. You were supposed to be a part of a group. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry about that. Like, I wasn't ready.
Did you regret it when you walked out?
No, not at all.
You just totally were like, no, fuck this. I'm not just… Like,
no, it's just that like that wasn't really what I was going for. Like, because I was into like more like hip hop type of music.
What kind of stuff?
So back then, I was just listening to American music. So back then, I was listening to a lot of like Jay-Z. That's when like, I want to say like Big Sean, like they like first started coming out. And like Drake like debuted and stuff. But I was into that and I saw K-pop was. And I was like, all right, I don't think this is for me.
Yeah.
It's cool, but it's not for me. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yes, cat.
But yeah, so pretty much that happened. Went home. And then I got to another label.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I went to another place, a dancing school.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to learn how to dance like legit. So I started taking classes. And then one of the teachers was like, hey, you're kind of nice. Like, you should try taking an audition here. I'm like, no, I'm good. He's like, please just try it. So then I went to another audition. And I don't even know what the label was.
I thought he was going to be like, and they're like, a sketchy guy was like, hey, we're going to make this group called BTS. And no, he's like, nah, screw that.
It's actually very similar. It's actually very similar. So that company was
BTS.
It was a pretty big company.
BTS.
SM, JYP.
It was a company that worked with Melon. It's a very, it has IU in it.
IU?
Yeah. IU is, she's like,
damn, man.
I forgot the label. Oh, Low End.
Oh.
It was Low End Entertainment. Uh-huh. I didn't know what Low End was, but I didn't know it was a big company.
They offered you a contract?
No, so I took the audition. I walked in, but it was that day where he told me about the audition. So I walked in, I had nothing prepared. I walked in and said, all right, what do you got prepared? I'm like, nothing. Like, he just told me to take the audition, so I'm here. He's like, all right, what can you do? Same thing happened. Like, can you sing? I'm like, oh, like, can't sing for my life. And then he's like, can you dance? I'm like, yeah, just turn something on. I danced. He's like, can you rap? Rap. And then I walked out. And then he called my phone. He's like, can you come back inside? He's like, all right, starting from tomorrow, you're going to be a trainee. I'm like, wait, what? Like, can you come to this address and you can start training? Now, again, same thing. I was like, this is too sudden. Like, why is this happening?
Wow.
So, this time you changed your phone number.
Dude.
Went into the witness protection program.
You have so many alternate lives and alternate time lives in your life, dude. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
Was there a group that came out of that company?
Yeah. Then it was a group called History. And they had that was right after IU debuted. But I trained there for about 2 years.
Oh, that's so when you actually trained with them?
Oh, okay.
I trained there for 2 years. But that's when like my Korean level like boosted. Because I was like, my Korean was so bad. I got in trouble so much being in that company. Because I didn't know how to speak formally.
Speaking Panma to people.
Yeah. So then like their boss of like Low End or Melon and like SK would come down just to check up on us. I'm like, yo, what's up, Depyo? And then out. Like,
Depyo.
Oh, man. I got in so much trouble that it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But then after 2 years, they moved me into like a vocal group. I'm like, why am I in a vocal group? I can't sing. Then I was like, all right, this ain't for me. But I was still under contract for like another 6 months or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and after that, I'm like, all right, I'm out, guys. Peace. And then I left the label. And then like another month passed. My mom calls me like, I got you on this. You need to get to this address in 30 minutes.
Damn. What is it with parents dropping you in the deep end?
Yeah,
but I'm in a parallel universe doing a show with Infinite. I can't go.
Yeah. Yeah. So then it's like, get to this address. She just sends me an address. Get to this address in 30 minutes. It's like, you have an audition. I'm like, okay. And I just go, same thing. And I didn't even know. There's like a huge line. But then everyone seemed like, I'm listening to other people sing. I'm like, wow, these people are amazing. What am I doing here? I don't belong here.
Yeah.
I walked in, these people, like the judges there, like, all right, what do you have prepared? Can you sing? I'm like, no, I can't.
Once again, nothing?
Yeah. I can't sing. I'm not going to show something. Like, I wasn't trying to be a singer.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, all right, it's like, oh, like, what can you do? I'm like, I can rap, I can dance. Like, all right, do that. And then I walked out. I'm like, all right, that was a bust.
So you rapped?
Yeah. That was a bust.
What did you rap? What did you spit?
I like written verses.
Yeah.
And you dance as well?
Yeah, yeah.
But when you pull up to like an American Idol or like a K-pop kind of like singing audition,
wasn't prepared at all.
What verse do you speak? Are you just freestyle? Or?
No, it's like I have like a pre-written verse.
Yeah, but I'm saying what was the verse?
I don't remember.
What was the content?
Dude.
I don't remember.
I'm just wondering what I would do if I was in that situation because you know, I rhyme
just,
too.
It was back then. I was just writing
drop
about…
Drop a verse from Anyoung or something, dude.
When that's I was younger, when I was like 21, 22, I was just rapping like, I'm the best.
That's
like,
what I was wondering. Is it just like a, like, fuck you, I'm the best?
Yeah, like, yeah, pretty much I was like, fuck you, I'm the best. Yeah. Like, you guys
and they
need
were
shit.
Like, he's the best.
Yeah.
Somebody give this guy a contract.
I walk out of the building. That was a bust. He calls me, can you come back inside? I go back in. And then I found out it was in a musical audition. So like, oh, technically this was a musical audition.
Wow.
But then one of the guys sitting there, he's like, but this is my label and I'm actually making a boy crew. And I want you to be a part of it. So can you stay after the auditions are over? I'm like, okay.
So this is the third offer.
Jeez.
You without even wanting
people
any of
it. Want
them.
You, bro.
And then that happened.
I have to see this man dance.
What was the group?
That group was High Four.
Okay.
You know that?
No, I've heard.
I've heard of High Four rings a bell.
Yeah, so we…
Was there any four of them in the group?
Yeah, there was four of us. And we did a song with IU called… Not Spring Love and Cherry Blossoms.
Yes, that's where… Yes, I know.
Oh, so you actually… I remember that.
That group I was with for about 4 years.
That song was hot.
Yeah, it was on the chart. It was like number one for like a month.
Yes, I remember that. That's where I remember that.
That kind of happened off the bat too. Like a lot of things in my life just happened like…
That blew up.
Cool.
That so too.
That, like there are people that are listening to this podcast right now and they're probably like, you know, I'd love to audition for a label in Korea. And Lex is just like, I went in there. I'm like, I wasn't feeling it. One, boom. Two,
because
nah,
that wasn't the…
Boom,
but that's the different because like for those people like they're trying to do that.
Oh, yeah,
that's what they're trying to pursue.
I completely understand. But like it's just like, wow, you've been… incredibly, like, you've had so many opportunities up to this stage, and there's obviously, you've got a lot of talent that people have seen and they're like, we want to work with this guy.
Dude, you're so hot.
But that group I just stuck with for a minute.
Yeah.
Sorry, I like to make the guests feel uncomfortable. It's cool, sometimes. Man.
It's fine. But
and so what, that group just kind of disbanded after?
So we promoted for about 4 years, and then we got to a point where, like, you know what, I feel like we're still really tight with all the members, and we have good songs, but things like just the types of music we want to do and pursue, we all had our own individual dreams. I feel like they're all kids like me who got together. Mm-hmm. So these weren't kids who weren't trying to make a K-pop, with these kids who just wanted to do music.
And did you like have… Did you write your own verses and stuff for this?
Yeah, that's one thing like I had to put down. It's like, all right, if I'm going to do this, like, I want to write my own music. I want to produce my music. But then there were like limits to what he can give me. I was like, all right, I want to at least write when I'm going to rap. Like, I'm not going to be a puppet for you.
Mm.
So then…
And were they okay with that?
Yeah. So then like, all right, you write your own lyrics. Except for that one big song. He's like, all right, this one, you cannot write no matter what. I'm like, okay. And then that happened to be their biggest song. I was like, all right.
That's going
to
say, I bet you wished you'd written that one because…
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't like the verse originally. I was like, I'm not doing that. He's like, no, you're doing this. I'm like,
what?
But then…
What, can I hear the verse? Or is that too old?
I don't remember. I have to hear the song to remember the lyrics.
Yeah.
But
it's happened, it was a common theme in your life, putting it on the spot like that.
No, but there comes a period in your life, and there's certain occasions that you just kind of… You know you did it, but you can't remember like all the fine points.
Yeah, I mean, if I hear the song, I probably remember right off the bat. But like, since when you go through so many songs, like you memorize it and then forget it, and then just get onto the next one. It's like a cycle.
Do you remember all your lyrics?
I was crazy about remembering my lyrics for a long time.
What about now?
Yeah, I can remember the first.
All right, I want the third.
The first rap I ever spit.
No, I want the fourth song you ever released, and I want the second verse.
You don't remember, loser.
I don't know.
The liar.
I don't remember the fourth one. The fourth one.
Come on.
With his green beanie.
Come on.
Also, when I was coming up, this was 20 years ago, we didn't release singles. We released albums.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like singles is more of like a…
And my first album was called I Wish We Had Some Groupies.
Excuses.
How did that go for you?
That was good.
Okay. I know I'm in the groupies.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. This was high school, you know? They're not real groupies. They're just…
Just kids.
Just kids.
You're some other kids. Just kids. Students, you know? So, the military was a decision that you made.
Yeah, so after High Four, he was just giving us like bogus shows and like… Our labels gave us bogus shows and like bogus like deals and stuff. And then our contract was ending. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to dip. So then I was a American citizen, but then I didn't have a visa to work here. So then I had to register for a Korean citizenship. So I'm a dual citizen. And then they said like, oh, you got to drop your American. I'm like, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. But like, oh, if you want to do that, if you want to keep both of them, you have to go to the army. So then… I got like stuck with having to go to the army, so I had to push that back till after it was over. And then it got to a point where I was like, all right, let's do some new stuff. And that's when the bogus deals came in. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I'm gonna go to the army. Peace out. I went to the army, and then I regretted every minute of it, but I did learn a lot.
And it's good to get it over with, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I wanted. I was like, you know what? I have to deal with it one way or the other, so might as well get it over with.
Wait, you wanted to stay in Korea?
Yeah. And another reason was like at that time, like I was just overwhelmed. Like I got to a point where like I just know too many people. I have too many friends, and like the internet and like social media and like just everything was like overwhelming for me at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was just like tearing me down. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, I can't keep up with everything. There's too many people I gotta meet, and like there's too many people contacting me. So I just like ghosted everybody, switched my number, and I just left the army without a word, just telling like just a couple of friends.
So it was almost like an escape for you.
Yeah, pretty much. I just needed like to run away from the world pretty much.
Bro, other people that. Go to a temple, stay.
I always feel that, dude.
Like you want to escape?
Go to the army.
I do it. I disappear a lot.
Yeah,
he does.
I disappear a lot.
Yeah.
Don't you guys ever see me just dip?
Yeah, it hurts.
Sorry, dude. I just dip.
Yeah. You just want to go MIA for a minute.
Everyone just wants to do something with you and contact you for work.
Like, I appreciate the like love, but then at the same time, like sometimes like I need time to breathe. Because I was just like running for like years. So then I went to the, but then I went to the training camp and I was like, oh, this was a bad idea. This was better. This
was what worst, have I gotten this myself is the worst into? Decision
I made. I just remember going, I shaved my head. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to get away from everything. And then I just opened my eyes and then I hear the bell. And then people like, this, all the sergeants yelling at me. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in the army. What did I do?
You just
sounds like a music video.
Yeah, I screwed up.
You just joined the regular army?
Yeah.
How old were you then again?
I was 28. Oh, 28.
That is kind of long in the tooth for the army. Especially when you've got commanding officers who are 19.
And they're talking to you.
Well, they're barking at you in Pumo.
Yeah, they're like, allowed to, right?
Yeah, because they're your commanding officer.
I did not know that. I didn't know they looked like they were 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
And then after the training was over, I found out they're like 21.
Yeah.
And I was like, excuse me? What'd you say? Like, you made me like do like 50 push-ups. You rolled me around in the dirt. Like, are you kidding me?
And you're 19?
Yeah. It's a bit of a head. You have the hierarchical system here based on age is so strong in Korea. But then once you go into the military, age goes out the window. It's all about rank.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
So kids straight out of high school are a ranking officer over… Mm. You could be a 30-year-old guy joining the military.
How do these like young kids move up so high though?
Well, no, because it's conscription.
It's very fast.
It's like a two-year window. So you're going from a private up to… I don't even know the term.
You can go up to four ranks.
These aren't like lifelong…
No. They're not professional.
Kids who are planning to be professionals.
Yeah. No. I mean, they can if they want to.
If they want to. They kind of like scout you while you do it.
After 2 years, you're like, so, I'm going to keep doing this?
Yeah, it's like, I have nothing else going for me. Might as well. And some kids are like that.
Yeah. Nice. A lot of places.
Yeah, I mean, there are some people that are ranked quite high, but they started early.
Like, some people love it.
Yeah.
People around my…
I love having a schedule.
I have friends that loved their time in the military.
Yeah, yeah. They're
considering doing it as a job.
Yeah.
You said you knew people who enjoyed it, but you just didn't feel the same.
Yeah, it just wasn't for me. It's just the fact that like I thought I was ready because my Korean was so much better. And then I went in and like the Korean they use in there, like…
It's completely different.
It was a different language. And I had to change pants and like my jacket. And then I didn't know which line to get in because they call like Sangi Hai. I didn't know what that was. I thought it was just like Paji, like Weetong or something.
That's pretty basic though, dude.
But I didn't know. My Korean was not like… I didn't know like formal, like legit Korean.
Yeah.
Because I learned from just speaking and going around.
Yeah.
And then I was like stuck in between two lines and they're yelling at me and I was like, what is happening? He's like, get in line. What do you need? Like, I need to change both of them. What do I do? And then you're not supposed to say like yo. Like, 안녕하세요. Or like,
it's gotta be 입니다.
Yeah. So, yeah. Tanaka. You call it Tanaka. Yeah. But I kept on saying yo because I didn't know how to use Tanaka that well. I was like, oh, 몰라요. And then I got in so much trouble for saying yo like all the time.
Wow.
But then I told him like, it's like, why don't you know Korean? I'm like, I'm American. And then they're like, it's like, you don't know Korean? I'm like, yeah. And then they didn't know what to do about it. They're like, oh.
Should have started speaking to them in
English.
Get
back in line.
My boy told me the other day, he just pretended like he didn't speak Korean for 2 years in the military.
You could do that.
He was just like, he had moved from the States and he was like, of course I was fluent in Korean because he grew up with like Korean parents, but he was like, I didn't know how to do that. And so I just decided to pretend for 2 years, like I didn't speak any. And he actually did.
There were some kids like that.
Yeah.
They're acting dumb, but they kind of treat you like an idiot. You're like,
you don't want that.
You're like the battalion idiot. So yeah, that
were you the battalion idiot?
No, I was. Nice. I tried.
You
really tried. Hard.
You showed effort.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah.
But then, like, even if I would pass out, like, I would just keep going.
So you don't want to be the battalion idiot, right? You don't want to be the battalion.
Yeah, I saw that kid. And I'm like, all right, I don't want to be that kid.
Nobody wants to be that kid.
Yeah, like I don't want to be that kid.
No, but could you not have applied to be in the Katusa?
Yeah, I was gonna ask that earlier.
Which is
but that too is like kind of like
it's random. It's like a lottery.
It's random. It's
a lottery. Does everyone want to be a Katusa?
So you know what a Katusa
is? Yeah.
They're the middleman between the Korean army and the American army here.
It's essentially the army lottery. So if you get that, it's just there's a huge list and pick a random.
Random
I thought it was interview process. I thought they had to
it's
like random. It was based on language ability and
that's so
you have a higher chance apparently you probably have a higher chance if you come out of like a good school or something.
I had a perfect score. I had a perfect score, and then there's another Hyung I knew, and he just passed like a 750 or something out of like 990.
And he got in.
And he got in, and he barely spoke English. And I'm like, that's not cool.
Yeah. It's random. It's
I only know that word from like military guys. Just like we play basketball. Man, my kutus is f***ing around again. I was like, I didn't even know it was a Korean word.
Yeah. Kutusa, yeah.
Wow.
I know a lot of Korean friends who are like, yeah, I wish I…
Everyone I know that's gone through military service, more often than not, that was the direction they wanted to take it. Because you get access to the US base.
Yes.
You get weekends off.
You can also be a DJ.
Well,
really?
Yeah. But you can be a DJ for the radio station that they have broadcasting into North Korea.
That's crazy.
Really?
Yeah. You know, they like broadcast radio signals into North Korea. Like our boy Jake told us that one of his friends, that was his job. And he would just like fall asleep in the DJ booth.
Well, my understanding is they get American holidays. They get Korean holidays. They have the weekend off.
Oh, wow.
It's completely different to just the Korean military.
Y'all want to be Katusas?
Huh?
Y'all want to be Katusas?
I'd rather done that any day. Yeah.
I mean, if I was going in the army, like here in Korea, that would be definitely be the option I'd be taking.
If one of us wanted to go to the Korean army to become a Korean citizen, would they let us?
No. I think there's like…
No?
Yeah, they probably wouldn't.
No, I think you can… Depending on age.
It's too late. We lost the window a long time ago. You'd have to get married and change your citizenship and be under 35. But by the time we get citizenship, it's too late. Mm-hmm. I used to think about that, believe it
or not. Thinking about doing that?
Yeah, I used to think about that. But I don't want to rush marriage.
You could have brought like a GoPro in there and made a whole… Really, like made a whole YouTube channel about becoming a Katusa.
Yeah, because they're going to let him do that.
Yeah. This guy did. This goofball.
What was your family's… When you said, I'm going to the army, what was their kind of take on that?
They were actually really happy about it. I was scared for my life, but they were just really happy.
Are your parents super Korean?
Actually, my mom, she was in the States for about 30 years.
Okay.
When she came back to Korea, like she was just as lost as I was.
Oh, okay.
On that note, this is kind of a little bit of a different direction. People I know whose parents moved to the States from Korea, like for example, if they moved in 1970, they kind of have that 1970 mentality of Korea.
Yeah.
And they can actually be more conservative than parents who have stayed in Korea. Did you find that with your mother? Obviously, a 30-year window is a big period of her life and having… moved to America, then coming back.
When she just came back, she was just like mind blown of how like just it's civilized so much better and the technological advances it made in over the past 30 years. Mm-hmm. She was like, no, they used to be like, people are farming for food. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was expecting when I came to Korea. Uh-huh. I was like, yo, they got buildings. This is civilized. Like this isn't the Korea that I heard about. Because she was talking about like Korea from like 40 years ago.
Mm.
So…
Yeah, even like when I got here in 2008, it looked modern as hell compared to where I was from in Atlanta. So
yeah, me too. When I came to Korea, I was mind blown. Like their subway system, like this is nothing like New York. Yeah. Like New York needs to catch up. What are we doing?
When I first came here, like I used some like recruiting site to get an English teaching job here.
Yeah.
And I remember like the website was like 10 years old and I came like 10 years ago. And all of the things that they had written about Korea scared the out of me. It was like, make sure that you don't bring condoms like in your suitcase. Korean people don't like foreigners coming. They'll poke holes in them or steal them. Like Korea probably won't have that. Probably won't have very fast internet. So be careful. Like make sure that you do all this crazy stuff. That was just total bullshit. Like when I got here, it was like way better than America on everything. Like that's how fast Korea grew, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Even like when I first came, my most mind-blowing thing was just like the cultural differences, and the one big thing was just like everyone was Korean. I was like, wow, everyone's Asian, this is weird.
Yeah,
like that was the biggest thing for me.
When you go back to America, you're like, man, everyone is not Asian.
Yeah, that's because I was used to like the diverse culture.
Yeah,
and then I came here, I'm like, wow, everyone is Korean, this is weird, this is mind-blowing, why do they look like me? And like
for me it was
you're
like
and I'm yourself sure that's right, I'm Korean.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys too. You get used to it. It gets kind of like peaceful to like not
Have you ever watched, gone to a movie theater and watched a movie, been in there for like 2 hours and watched a movie in the West, and then the lights go on and you look around and you're like, oh, because you got so into the movie and you forgot that you're
in Korea, in Asia,
and then you're like, holy shit, I'm not.
Wow.
It's a phenomenal feeling that mm-hmm. I get when I watch a movie and then I come back to reality in Korea.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I had a similar experience, but before I first went to New York, I was going through this stage, and you know how in Korea they kind of just put garbage trash in trash bags for the trash collectors to pick it up. Yeah. In Australia, we have like these wheelie bins, these big green bins that you put them in, so you don't see the trash bags, and you have garbage cans along the street. So people, if they're walking along with an empty coffee cup, they'll just toss it in a trash can. Whereas here, they don't have that many trash cans, and people tend to kind of just leave, just litter. And it was kind of like, you know, Australia is so much cleaner. Why are people just leave on the ground? Then I got to New York and there's like puddles of stagnant, filthy trash water that stinks. It's like burning your nostrils.
Princess and you're Bride like, rats.
And you're like, holy Korea is like, New York has just opened my eyes. I went through the same experience in London. It's like, shit. Korea is actually super clean. Mm-hmm. New York, London. These guys need to.
And Korea is really good at with the trash now, it seems like.
Well,
all the separate bags and stuff.
But I think it's just this whole thing of when you get yourself in an environment, you've kind of, it's almost tunnel vision. You kind of forget what's happening outside of the world. Kind of like what Dave said, he gets stuck in a movie and then he wakes up and he's like, you know, he kind of gets out and he's like, I thought I was in the movie and whatnot. It's a weird phenomenon when you've, you know, also traveling halfway around the world and being used to some similar environment, and it's completely different.
Mm-hmm. With the trash too, I remember like same thing. Like in New York, we just toss everything in one bag and throw it away. But here, everything's
recycled.
Yeah, recycled and separately. Even within the recycling, it's like separate, like with cans, plastics, and all that stuff.
And you're supposed to like rinse it all out.
Yeah, rinse the plastic bottle, take the labels off it.
Yeah. And like I came and then I was like, all right, I had like a big pile of garbage. Mom's like, all right, go down over there and like separate everything. What are you talking about? Yeah. Why am I doing that? Put my hands
in the trash.
Yeah, like what are you talking about? Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
And then I thought she was like, I thought I was getting punished for something. But then I found out that's what everyone does. And I was like, wow, like this is why Korea is so clean.
Yeah.
Because the streets are like much cleaner than New York. Like there are clean parts of New York. Like I was from Nyack, so that's a very like, it's like a village and it's very clean. Mm-hmm. But like, go to like more like Times Square or something like
this. Oh man, don't even get me started on Times Square. The size of the rats there, they're like little dogs.
Yeah. You remember the Princess Bride rats, right?
I do not off the top of my head.
You remember that movie though, right? You've seen Princess Bride for sure. Yeah,
bits and parts of it.
Those rats.
I've never seen a rat before, a mouse.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've never seen that in my entire life.
Dude, when I was in college, I lived in this house with like 7 people. And we had a nice like screened in back patio, but we didn't use it. We just threw like beer cans and back there. And when we moved out, there was a Princess Bride rat like under all of this trash.
Aren't rats like cute? They're like little animals.
They're dirty.
New York, yes. New York rats are pretty.
They're pretty filthy animals. If they bite you, you'd probably need a couple of tetanus shots.
Yeah. And they're just filled with disease. And they don't just eat cheese like in the movies, Dave. They eat trash.
Have you seen that video of the rat in the subway in New York, and it's got like that slice of pizza that's dragging up the steps.
That's cute. It's like
I've seen a squirrel eat a piece of pizza before. That was cute.
What about
as
if
fuck?
That rat was doing that in your apartment? Would that be cute?
Not really, but I wouldn't like go like ah. I'd just be like, it's
give
an animal.
Pizza, little buddy.
No, I couldn't kill it for sure.
Oh no, that's way too big. I can't.
Yeah, I couldn't kill it. I would just let it outside.
I wouldn't go near it.
But I have cats. They would probably destroy that thing.
You have enough cats that would, that thing would be in trouble up in your house for your pizza.
Dave's like, fight club.
Dude, even when my dog was this little, my cats wanted that thing, dude. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I still see your cats kind of like out of the corner of their eyes sometimes.
Nah.
I could fuck that thing up.
No, they fuck my dog up all the time, poor thing. Yeah.
How did 28 Laboratory evolve for you? Were you original part of Michael's, group chat?
The dude's chat.
Yeah, we have like the group, like this group chat with like 10 dudes. But like we all met around the same time. Like I was friends with mostly everyone.
Mm.
But then I kind of like, at that time, there weren't a lot of like 90s kids. So I wanted like, all right, I need to connect these people and like make friends.
90s kids.
What was it? Was it like, because you didn't go to school here, so there weren't school friends. Was it like?
As promoting as an idol, like you meet a lot of people in the industry. So then most of them were people who worked in industry who were idols or just who worked entertainment, videography, directors and whatnot. And I kind of wanted to connect everyone. I'm like, you know what? I have another friend and he speaks English. Oh, I have another friend. He speaks English. I kind of like grouped us all together. And then Michael came through. I met him when we were 28. And then he came to Korea with like absolutely nothing. I was like, what are you here for? I was like, I just came through to like do some stuff. Like, what are you doing? I don't know yet. I just came. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Were you one of the guys that was like, yo, you should do something?
Yeah, because like he was always, he didn't really have a plan. He was just here and he didn't really have a plan to go out to. So I was like, yo, like you always talk about like fashion and clothes and like, and you really like, the way he dressed was really like flashy and like just really like a fashionista. So I was like, yo, you should try that. You should try like using that as a weapon and like marketing that and marketing yourself as a fashion designer. And he's like, but he was kind of hesitant to do that at first. But I felt like he was losing out on a good opportunity because he has such potential, but he was not using it. Mm-hmm. And then he started doing like, he started working at a retail store. And I was like, all right, that's cool too. And stable. But like, I feel like you can do so much better than what you're doing now.
A good friend.
Yeah. I mean, I like to share energy. I feel like potential shouldn't be wasted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But then I went to the army and then came back and then I was kind of, the song Black, it just talks about like how you just lost and when your vision is just like black, you're like, all right, you just lost. You don't know what to do. Mm. And you just mentally and like just your path is kind of like dark. And that's kind of where I was after the army because I was just focused on the army. I thought I was like, all right, I'm going to have alone time. I get to think about my life and whatnot. I was like, no, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to breathe.
You don't have any time.
I don't have time to do nothing. So when I got to the army, like I tried to write lyrics and stuff, but like, you can't think. Like, all I'm thinking about is what I have to do in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
But once I got out, I was kind of like lost. And then I was just so hungry to make music while I was in the army. So then once I got out, I just started writing and just pumping out songs. Like, I just… Maybe like a song a day.
Wow.
And then… But that drained me out real quick. That went for like 2 weeks.
How did you spend… Because you get time off as well. So you get like holiday… From the army, like 2 days or 3 days.
I try to like save them up and then
to shorten your time in the army.
I save like 2 weeks to save up, get out a little earlier. Mm-hmm. But then I try to get out as often in like a 2 day span or a 3 day span. So I'll go like every other month for like a weekend.
Okay.
But then that wasn't the normal thing that other people do because they would just like save up a week and then go out, like wait 3 months and go out for like a week. Mm-hmm. But like I just needed that, like I need people energy. Mm-hmm. Away from the army, I was like, all right, I need to see people. And then every time I came out, I'm like, wow, these buildings are so tall. And I would start like admiring the things and like that's not in the army.
Uh-huh.
I was like, wow, if we take all this for granted, look at all this beauty in Seoul. But
so that obviously that didn't help with productivity either.
No, this helped with me my stability though.
Yep.
But whenever I came out, I would meet up with my friends, and then they would be, I would see what they're doing. They would keep me updated with what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of like. Brought up my like hunger level of how hard I want to work. Mm-hmm. And then once I got out, that's what really boosted me to like really grind really hard. And then, but I had all this music and I was like, all right, what do I do with it? And then I was thinking, but I've been with the experiences in the past with labels. I'm like, I don't think that's the route for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I contacted Michael. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like you guys are going down a good path and I have faith in what you do. Now I have faith when I do because I believe strongly like I can deliver and I feel like you can help me with this and I can help you guys and like kind of like works both ways. So then he was like, yeah, like they were always in open arms for me. Mm-hmm. But then I was kind of like hesitant to do that because I was more like, all right, I just need to figure my own head out right now. But after I kind of like cleared my head out, I was like, all right, now I'm kind of ready to work legit. And then I was like, all right, let's do this. And then we got together and then like maybe like a month later, we came out with the song Black. And then just doing the same rotation from there on.
Cool. Did Michael call you into his office and slide a contract across the table?
No, it's very mutual.
Okay.
You walked up to you and said, you're going to be a
very
star.
Very mutual verbal contract.
Star. Are you, during the pandemic, are you focusing a lot on writing songs like faster, or are you, what are you trying to do during this pandemic? Because I'm this pandemic has affected everybody.
I was more of like, I was very a homebody type of person, so I was home a lot.
Yeah. An ambivert, as we like to call them.
But like so like when we party, but then like if I'm home, that's cool too.
Yeah, so this isn't that huge of a change for you.
Yeah, so like
other than the
fact that now we're forced to stay home, like you know what, then I might as well like use that to use and spend that time on my music and work, my craft.
Do you miss, like everyone else, I'm sure you miss going out, having a drink with friends stuff. I miss it so much.
I feel like just the fact that now we can't do it.
I didn't do it that much because I could anytime I wanted to. I live now in the middle of home day. So like in the middle.
Right.
Right in the middle. Like I just walk outside and there's just bars and clubs everywhere, you know. And now that I can't, even though I wouldn't do it otherwise, it just it annoys
me. You don't have the option.
Yeah.
I think everyone's in the same boat. It's like now that you tell me I can't and you know there's a restriction in place, you're like, it's just like the devil's fruit. You know, the devil's like, don't touch it. And you're like, well, I want to eat it now.
I'm glad it happened when it did. Like, I just don't like bars and clubs and shit anymore anyways. All I want to do is hang out with like one friend and drink soju and talk.
Yeah, but you like being out past 9 too though.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Before this pandemic, we'd go out and play beer pong and drink. What are you talking about?
You
green beanie liar.
Only with you.
So you're saying you don't like getting in groups of 5 people or more?
I would not because it's against protocol.
No.
Yeah, he's such a liar.
Beyond the protocols.
Every day after basketball, you guys want to get a drink? And we end up going home at like 3, 4 a.m.
But I'm saying that's different than like being a, like going to a bar.
We went to bars, though.
I just love Korean style, like eating and drinking, talking.
With 2 people.
Which you can still kind of do.
Mm.
Now.
It's
before 9.
Yeah.
Before 9, as long as you're in bed and you don't have a temperature.
Yeah, no temperature.
I think you adjusted more than… Okay, when I first met you, you were out a lot.
A lot, yeah.
But do not act like you didn't say, yo, let's go party sometimes. Because you did do
that. I like to party. Yeah.
I know you do. Yeah, you're acting like, I don't like bars and clubs anymore. Yes, you do.
Yeah. I'm just saying I prefer hanging out with smaller groups.
Okay, that's…
I'm an ambivert. What can I say?
God damn it!
I like to have my cake and eat it too. You know, I like to be out, but I also like to keep it small.
You're a cake eater, right?
Yeah. I'm a B14.
You guys want to see some cake?
No, do it. All right. He was really about to fart.
No, I wasn't going to fart. I was going to show my ass.
Oh, I thought you were going to fart.
Is that your nickname for cake?
Well, that's what people call is now, cake.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You guys,
I think that was a thing ever since a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really? In what part of the world?
In the U.S.
I thought you were going to fart.
Like,
wow.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm so into this. Sorry, guys.
You got so heated over cake.
Yeah. Wow. This is something foreign and something completely new to me. I've never
heard it either.
A new cultural breakthrough.
Yeah.
Although I am an ambivert. I was probably at home when it got me. I miss a lot being the ambivert that I am today. Small group.
This is taking a really weird direction.
Yeah, it does get like, you know what? These last 2 podcasts have been very toned down compared to our usual podcasts.
Yeah.
They get pretty weird.
Because we have some guests telling some wild stories. And our very first episode was ridiculous. Like breaking fingers and knife fights and…
Prison
You have any knife fight
stories? I don't have any knife or finger breaking.
Do you have any stories about prison? People tend to come in here and talk about prison stories.
No. There's a lot of prison stories in the army. Like, there's a lot of kids go to the army.
Go ahead.
You go first.
Do you kind of feel like you have to censor yourself the way that other, like, K musicians kind of have to do? Or because you're working with, like, a friend, can you… you had a knife fight, would you be able to talk about it here on Dive Studios?
I think back then you were censored.
Back then, I was censored to a point, but I didn't like it. So I kind of, like, even if they told me not to, I'd be like, what are you going to do about it? Once if I say it's already out there, so…
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm. We need to talk about his music a little bit more.
That would be a good thing.
Let's talk about your music a little bit more. What are you working on now? You have some more stuff coming soon?
Actually, so ever since the army and my last… Black I had written way back, like right when I got out of the army. And then I just had that sitting for a minute. But since then, I just kept making songs. And I have enough songs for like 3 albums already.
Oh.
But like, I'm just super picky with like just how I want to present them. And like, I don't want to say I'm a perfectionist because I'm not.
Mm.
But I do kind of want to reach as close to that as I can without being too picky about it. Like, I don't want to like postpone it for like months.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to get the best possible outcome with the music. And I just want to, I want the music to kind of fit the mood that I'm, the present state of where I'm at right now.
And like if you let it go on for too long, it doesn't fit your
mood, pretty much. If I have it sit for too long, like, but it does come back. Like, I'm not feeling it. But then maybe like a couple of months later, I'm like, all right, now I like this song.
Oh, okay.
So are you preparing to put an album together, or for the time being, you're kind of just going in the direction of releasing singles?
I was planning on releasing singles for now, because there are a couple of songs that I want to present as a single alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are songs that I want to present as a package that tells a story on its own. So
singles are smart anyways, in this generation.
Mm-hmm. I feel like singles now is more of like a trending thing.
Yeah.
Because like, I feel like now not a lot of kids usually listen to the whole album.
Do you think albums are going to come back one day?
I feel like they will.
I hope so.
What happened?
I think it's going full circle. Like, I think what happened with albums though is a lot of people took the cheat key, and you get a lot of skits in between songs, and people weren't actually putting a concerted effort into making the best. Well, not everyone, but there were artists out there pumping out albums year after year instead of taking the time to put a real album together.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily the artist's fault. You've also got the companies that are saying, you've got, you know, a 5-album contract. We want you to pump another album out. What I've started doing recently is buying LPs, vinyl again. And it's not like a CD. It's not like an MP3. You can't just skip tracks. Mm. So you actually sit down and let the record play. And you appreciate the albums for what they really were. Mm. As opposed to, we've become so instantaneous. It's like, this song, next.
Yeah.
Next.
I was thinking about putting out my album that I just finished like as one long track. And just
don't do that.
I'm not going to do it. That's what everyone said. It's like, no one's going to hear it past like the third song then. Because everyone's like, attention span is too short.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with Sam, but at the same time, there's also more reason to that as well. Because A, like you said, people are not, don't take the time to listen to an album. But at the same time, you put all this effort into an album, and then it's so easy to pirate an album, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
So you put all this effort and you don't make the money, whereas you can put one single out and make essentially the same amount of money with less effort than making an entire album and somebody just downloads it or pirates it easily. That's one thing. And people are, because of YouTube and Spotify and everything, people are looking for music videos and single songs and chart toppers.
Yeah.
People are not breaking down albums. So it's at the point where, why would I put all this effort where I can just put smaller amounts of effort into a bunch of singles and make equivalent, if not more money? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think you have to be more of an established artist to really put an album out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a waste of time in this environment. So I agree with you.
It's very fast paced right now.
I agree with
it. It does seem like everyone's after that chart topper.
Yeah.
It's like Billboard Hot 100. People aren't looking at what's the top album on the chart anymore. Mm. It's like, what's the top single? That's what people are talking about.
Up until the 90s, you couldn't stream music anyways. Like in the 2000s. But like
you're talking about piracy. Here's my take though. Has streaming kind of eliminated piracy? I mean, as an artist and also yourself, you guys would probably… I don't know if people are pirating your albums. But,
it helps.
Piracy helps?
No. But streaming helps.
Oh, yeah. But it feels like people aren't downloading off torrents.
If people care about your music enough to like download it and steal it, then they probably care about you enough to go see you perform. And that's where everyone makes money, at least in America. Well, like,
I mean, yeah, there's where you some make good money things to piracy. Yeah. That's exposure.
Having enough people here.
I mean, there ain't no LimeWire anymore, though. You're not downloading albums off torrent, like you said.
It just seems like everything's become so much more accessible. Spotify, you've got Apple, you've got even Apple TV, YouTube, all these different platforms.
It's affordable too.
Yeah.
So,
what's the long term kind of direction that you think you're going to be taking with?
I'll be releasing your career. Honestly, I don't really have a full out plan.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of like let it go, like do things as it goes. And then I just kind of like adjust to the environment, see how things play out. I'm like,
it's a weird time.
Because I don't want to plan something and then when it gets to that time, like, oh, this isn't trending, or this isn't the thing to do right now. Like, yeah. or this is not the way to go. Like, I kind of like want to,
yeah,
like adjust to the, like adapt to the environment.
I mean, you kind of right now, you kind of have to with the pandemic and everything. It's kind of like,
yeah,
but even with music, changes so much. Yeah. You know, you're not gonna drop a dubstep track in 2021. You know,
it's
like, just because you've been working on it. You know?
But I feel like I'm more into like honing my own craft. So like, even if it doesn't go like super mainstream, and I don't plan to make it sound mainstream anyways. So I'm like, all right, for the people who actually do want to come to see my shows and still listen to my music. Mm-hmm. And those are the people like I'm writing for, and the people who can really connect with my music to like really spiritual level or like a mental level. Then that's the listeners that I'm trying to get to listen to me.
Do you have a music video out for Black?
I do.
Oh, cool.
Obviously you've got the assets within 28 Laboratory as well, because you've got people that work in kind of visuals.
Yeah, for sure. But then for that song too, the music video is very minimal, and I want the lyric part to be more connecting with the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I didn't even want a music video for that at first, because I want just the lyrics to really hit. Mm-hmm. But then as we talked about before, like just the visual aspect of music videos now is just so much more powerful. With like everything so fast paced, so you need to have shorter songs, you need to have visuals to stimulate listening to the music. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, maybe it is a good idea to have a visualizer with the music video, with the song.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it came to.
Oh, I can't wait to check it out, man.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Speaking of which, is there anything you'd like to shout out, anything you'd like to plug on our podcast before we wrap up?
My first single release that I just dropped a couple of months back, which is Black, and our future work that we're going to be coming out, 28 Lab, which is with Corbin. He's going to be releasing future singles and an album, hopefully this year. And then same goes for me. I'll be releasing a single real soon, as long as I get it finished, because I'm trying to get that perfection out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to work on that and finish that real quick.
Right on.
And then any future our merch that comes out from our crew that are made by Michael and our team.
Are you doing the production yourself on the music?
We have some of the songs I take part in.
Mm-hmm.
But then that too, like I like to be hands-on with my work. It's kind of like with clay, like I like to make it the way I want it.
Yep.
So I do like to be very hands-on with the production. But we do have a producer. Corbin, he's a producer and artist.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So I work with him with our beats and work.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Right, cool. Lex, thank you for joining us
today. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Can't wait to hear your stuff.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely looking forward to more content, not just from yourself, but also from 28 Laboratory.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like usually at the house, so I'm going to check it. I'm going to go listen to it tonight at the house.
Right on.
You just listen to it on the way home.
I am an ambivert. I am outside sometimes.
For people that want to watch the podcast in full, you can find us on YouTube. Also, check us out on Instagram as well. And you can listen to the podcast on Spotify Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, and send us a review. We appreciate all of them, especially the ones with 5 stars. Lex, thank you once again for joining us today.
Thank you
so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Bye. See you in the next episode. Bye-bye.